All right, 1 o'clock here in a Thursday Hang Zone. We're going to move a couple things around, maybe checkerboard a bit here. We're going to get back into the Cowboys in about 15 minutes. In an hour and 15 minutes, we will talk to our friends, our football friends. But we might have a guest in the next segment to talk Cowboys, so...
Just playing it by ear.
Playing it by ear.
Hanging in the zone. So here, let me do what I wanted to do later.
He's walking in right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then you want to just do some cowboy talk or whatever? Sure. You're just... Whoa, look Hello, at sir. That. Can you come over here?
I'm Jake.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Nice to meet you, sir.
The greatest sportscaster in the history of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just ask him. It's Dale Hansen.
Who's having Angelo, Cataldi, Norm, and Dale in 1 hour?
Not if you listen to the people in Paris, Texas. I was actually at Paris for a fundraiser with the Oak Ridge Boys several months ago. And the guy introduced me as the second best sportscaster at WFAA ever. And I thought, well, okay, that's probably true, but you didn't have to say it out loud like that, you know. So.
Trahan? Trahan, number one?
Yeah, that's what I was going with.
How's life these days?
It's good.
Yeah, what are you up here for?
Recording a commercial for my favorite hangout, the Poker House in Dallas.
Yes.
Wet the beak.
Actually, listen, I heard when you were on with Galloway on the Normathon. That was unbelievable.
Meaning what? What?
It was awesome.
Oh, it was? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought you guys were great.
Well, you know, you scare me when you say stuff like that. You know,
well, so
I gotta
be
very careful with you. But no, I thought it had its moments, didn't it?
I'm a big fan. You still got the emu?
No. We've lost a few. We lost a horse just a couple of months ago. We lost our little miniature burro, my donkey. I call him Edward R. Burrow. Edward R. Burrow.
You remember that? Yeah, I was always a big fan of that.
Yeah,
one.
The kids
these days don't think that's as fun.
No. I do have a few old references that don't always stand the test of time, but. So this is the guy, Jake, you said, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Man, I hear nothing but good things about you. I hear you've been carrying this man for several years.
But who are you talking to?
Buddy of mine, Larry Barnes, is a, what do you call it still, the P1 still? I mean, he's a big, probably listening right now, because he calls me about once a week and says, you got to hear this new guy, Jake. You got to hear Jake. Jake's just fabulous. So
I'm just trying to get through the day, Dale.
It is an honor to be in your presence, sir. If Larry Barnes says you're good, that's good with me. So.
I had one guy carry me for like 20 years, and now he's just handing me off
just
to another
shift
guy.
The load.
Yeah. I'm a backpack.
Well, sure. You know, we all ride that wave, and if we can have somebody that serves as a surfboard for us from time to time, it doesn't hurt.
Does anybody ever bring up the Dale versus Dan fight?
Only,
probably never, right?
No. Only when I go out to speak at a banquet or I'm at the poker table, somebody almost always brings it up. You know, so that was all fake, right? No, I was actually ticked off, so I walked out. And
I would like to say, do we have a short version of that to play? Just to reset for those who weren't here 20 years ago?
Well, we were arguing, which again, I'll jump way ahead of your story here, but you did apologize to me for saying that I was indeed right. Remember, you
did
were,
I?
Yes, you were always
when
you were always defending Jerry Jones
that day. Well, no. Well,
not that day. No, hell no.
Okay, because I wanted to. If I hadn't, I was going to apologize now and say you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're so right. You are so right.
I was ahead of my time.
Well, and I grew up a Browns fan.
That's the problem.
I mean, I guess right now, even you could say, and I was arguing that at least he has a passion.
Yeah.
Do we have any of it? You got it? All right, let's play it, and then we'll break it down.
How many owners in the NFL have won three Super Bowls
now? Again, I live in Dallas, Texas. I cover the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
I don't sit here and say, hey, in 92, you were really good, so anything you want to do now is fine with me. I don't do that.
I'm not saying I'm not saying he's not a crappy GM or that he doesn't make outlandish decisions or that you can't question anything.
No, you said you can't question.
He's a great owner because his bottom line is winning, no matter what.
Get your damn pom-pom before you poke me in the eye.
I don't understand what you're saying.
This is also what you fall back on.
I'm not even a Cowboy fan. I don't have a pom-pom.
He fires.
I wish my owner was half as passionate as Jerry Jones. What, are you walking out?
Well, shut up!
This is your problem. You don't like Mark Cuban because he wants to talk as much as you do. Now you're yelling at me to shut up because I'm trying to have a sports argument with you.
Yeah, you did have a good point there.
And you can't hang up on me.
This is the Dale Big Ego coming out.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Wow, you're pissed.
Yeah, I'm
pissed. Look at you. What are you pissed about?
Because I'm sitting there trying to have a
debate
with
that's
you.
Enough.
And you, every
fantastic.
Time I
so I got the main parts of it. No, yeah, I think I got one or two little things that were kind of correct, but overall, Dale wins. Dale's the winner of that fight.
Well, I love it.
Because Jerry Jones, after 20 more years of the exact same thing, Dale?
27. Tim Kalishaw, I love this. Tim Kalishaw wrote a column in the Morning News the other day. And just, I think it was yesterday or day before. And a buddy of mine sent it to me and said, man, you got to read what Kalishaw said. I think Kalishaw nails it. And basically, Kalishaw took my my commentary from like 22 years ago and reprinted it. You know, and it was Blaston Jones that he's the one constant and all the rest of it. I thought, you know, gee, I think I've heard that someplace before, but I could be wrong about that.
It's just weird that. You know, I mean, I remember when it was the Joey Galloway trade.
Sure.
And we criticized that. Bad trade. But then the season starts. And it goes on, and you can't just keep saying, yeah, but the trade 18 months ago, you then have to start saying, well, Dave Campo isn't doing well, and this guy, you know.
We get bored.
Think about this. After he ran Jimmy Johnson, although, I've said this to you, I think Jimmy Johnson wanted to leave. So I blame both of them, quite honestly. I mean, I think Jimmy wanted to leave, but he wanted to make sure he got a nice check on the way out the door. So he picks a fight with Jerry. Jerry pushes him out the door. And then look at all the coaches he hired since then. I mean, none of them, you know, he didn't have to compete to hire Barry Switzer, to hire Chan Gailey, to hire Dave Campbell. He did go out and get Bill Parcells, and as soon as Parcells started to build the Cowboys into a winner, in Jerry's own words, he got rid of him because it wasn't fun for Jerry anymore. So he pushed Parcells out the door, replaces him with Wade Phillips and Jason Garrett and now Mike McCarthy. I mean, he hires coaches for the most iconic franchise, I would argue, maybe in all of sports. And he hires head coaches who he doesn't have to bid against anybody else to get him. I mean, there's something incredibly wrong with that, don't you think?
That's not doing everything it takes to win a Super Bowl.
No, which is what he states.
Yeah. Now, every time he says, I will do anything it takes to win a Super Bowl, and I've said, get a new general manager. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. Now, I get it that he likes to win. They all like to win to some degree. Not as much as maybe the owners in Cleveland and Cincinnati did for a long time. And I would argue even Detroit and others. Did you see that? This little football stat jumped out the other day. Three teams in the NFC have not made at least the NFC championship game in 25 plus years. Three. The Detroit Lions, the mess they've created in Washington, and your Dallas Cowboys. Those are the three teams that the Cowboys are hanging out with now, the Lions and Washington. I mean, that's embarrassing when you've got that much money and that much power.
What's really interesting to me about it, stop playing that, is that if you look at their regular season win percentage, it's quite high.
It's very good. For the most part, it's very good.
Statistically, incredibly unlikely that they would still be in this situation.
It is kind of hard to explain, and I do think there is something to be said that every so often you just, you know, you get beat. You just get beat. It happens. But when it happens over and over and over, there's something else at play. And I look at this one, you know, when you've got this family-run operation that decided $15 million a year for a running back in the NFL in the 2000s. Name me the running back that was responsible for winning a Super Bowl in the last 23 years. There's not one. I think the closest you can get would be Terrell Davis in Denver in the late 90s. I think he played a huge role in Denver winning the Super Bowl, and I don't think they win the Super Bowl without Terrell Davis. But in the 23 years since, there's not a running back in the NFL. I mean, and he's still hanging on. Well, yeah, but we won with Emmitt Smith. Well, yeah, you did in 92, 93, and 95. You needed Emmitt Smith in the early 90s because it was a different game. You need quarterbacks and you need a receiver. So let's let Amari Cooper go. So now we've got CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup on one leg.
Yeah.
And
we got Jalen Tolbert.
Huh? I mean, it's just crazy because we want to recreate the team we had in '93 with Emmitt Smith. So we're going to give our running back, 2 yards, baby. If you want 2 yards, Zeke's your guy.
He could probably almost get it.
he might be an improvement right now.
Almost every time.
The fall forward. Why were you, so you were, I don't know if you even know this, the younger guys on the show.
Yeah.
You were the color commentator for the Cowboys on radio.
Yeah, yeah, 13 years.
Why were you fired? You were fired by Jerry?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because, well.
For being Dale?
I think so.
Having an opinion.
Yeah, Ron Chapman took me to lunch. We were in Austin, Texas. And Ron Chapman said I had to quit criticizing Barry Switzer. And I said, well, I never criticized Barry Switzer on the radio broadcast. I mean, Brad Sham had a great line. We do the Cowboys games from the Cowboys' point of view. And we're here to broadcast the game. And we went through some tough times. You mentioned Galloway and others used to rag on me quite a bit about this. But like during the strike years, we didn't really address the strike issue.
The 80s.
In the 80s, yeah. Right. We didn't really address the strike issue during the football game because, in Brad's opinion, and I think he was right about that, we're here to broadcast what's happening on the field right now. And we took that same attitude 99.9% of the time to our opinions about Barry Switzer's coaching. Now, if Barry Switzer went for it twice on 4th-and-1 in Philadelphia, yeah, then I called him out for it, thinking it was a dumb call. But I didn't do it. So anyway, we're sitting at lunch, and Chapman says, I have to go. If I'm not going to stop criticizing Switzer on Channel 8.
Mm.
And I said, well, that's not going to happen.
That's your real job.
That's where the real money was coming from and my real job. But then they said, okay, we're not going to do that. That's fine. So the year went on and it was just a horrible year. And I mean, I was the outsider and the plane rides were uncomfortable and everything else. So I called up Bob Cooper, the general manager, and this is one of my favorite stories. I called up Bob Cooper and I said, I'm going to quit at the end of the season. And he goes, no, maybe Switzer might be gone. We'll give you more money. I said, no, it's not about money. It's just, I just don't want to do it anymore. I mean, I can't do it with a straight face looking at Barry Switzer on the sideline. So I said, I'm going to quit at the end of the season. He says, oh, we need you to stay. We want you to stay. The next day, Barry Horn, I'm pretty sure through Galloway, wrote that I was going to be leaving and quitting the radio broadcast. Jerry got so mad, he told Bob Cooper to fire me. I swear to God, this is a true story. I'm laying in bed at home. My phone rings early in the morning, and Bob Cooper says, Dale, I'm sorry, but we've decided to fire you. And I said, well, I don't think you can fire me because I quit yesterday. He said, well, no, we've decided to fire you now. I said, oh, okay, that's fine. I hang up the phone. I don't think much about it. I go back to sleep. My phone explodes. Ron Chapman's on the radio, said, we had to get rid of Hanson. Nobody likes him. He's unbearable to work with. We can't stand his work. I mean, he's just horrible. I'm thinking, really? So I called Bob Cooper. There is an end to this story, by the way. I called Bob Cooper, and I said, Bob, there's 5 more games left in the season, plus a playoff game. And I said, I want my money. He said, well, Dale, I don't think we owe you that. You quit. And I said, well, I don't think you owe it to me either, quite honestly. But my attorney does. And I said, would you like me to have him call you? And about an hour and a half later, Bob Cooper called me back and said, we'll send you a check. So I got a check for 6 games for sitting at home because it was the first year that I had ever signed a contract.
Mm.
And the story then became that Jerry Jones fired me. And as you well remember, I think you were one of them that was leading the charge, that all my criticism of Jerry Jones was then dovetailing into the fact that he had fired me. And I said, well, number one, I quit before he fired me. And number two, I was right in my criticism of Jones and his family-run operation. So
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so I don't care. I fire me, I quit, whatever. I all I know is this. I got a huge check.
Yeah, for getting fired, you get a check. If you quit, you don't get
exactly
that check.
Exactly right.
So, yeah.
And money, sitting at home and not doing anything, that is money to the 19th power. I mean, yeah. It was huge just to walk in and cash that check.
And you know who was the happiest? Yeah. The happiest about all that? Your poker buddies, right?
Yeah. It was all gone in short order. There was an underground game I used to play in years ago, and a guy got arrested. He killed a gal. He stuffed her in a porta potty down in Waco.
Well,
yeah, and I wasn't there when it happened.
Okay.
But anyway, he told the Dallas police when he got arrested, Dale Hansen is the money guy at my poker house.
Mm.
He is the money guy behind the game. And I had to tell the Dallas police, I said, well, I probably am the money guy behind the game, but not on purpose. but I played here all the time. I said, it was never intentional that I was supporting that poker game, but I basically did. Because there was a day, and I almost kind of proud of saying this, there was a day when I just didn't really care. You know, the money was so good, I just didn't care. I was playing at a poker game one night, a guy had pocket aces and I had pocket nines. He makes a big bet, pre-flop, I call, I spike a nine. So I felt him, I mean, I bust him, he goes all in, I call him. He jumps up from the table, and he looks at me, he comes back, he buys back in, he goes, big man, I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna take every dollar you've got. And before I could say a word, this buddy of mine looked over and he said, kid, there's not enough hours in the day for you to get all of Hansen's money. But that day's gone. Now I'm on a pension, and I go, how much was the raise? $4? I fold. I can't go $4 anymore. My pension check doesn't extend that far.
Well, Dale, we appreciate you coming by and taking time out of your extremely busy schedule, I'm sure, now.
Well, you saved me. I'm looking up at the clock. You saved me about $74, I think, on the 15 minutes that I've been on. Because I would have already been at the poker table. I would have lost at least $74.
Well, you're welcome.
So I appreciate it.
The great Dale Hansen.
Thank you, boys. It's a pleasure to see you both.
All right, 1:15 on the ticket.